Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks so much for joining me this week. My motivational quote today is also, it was also given to me by my guest today. The name of the person who gave the quote is Jeremy Taylor, and it says, "There is no such thing as a dream with only one meeting." How many of us dream at night and maybe don't even remember them? And maybe the only dreams we do remember are the scary ones. You know, the ones where we're running from a predator or you're falling from the sky or a cliff. That's scary stuff to me. Have you ever thought about what your dreams actually mean and how they may impact your waking life? To me, this is such an interesting and just cool topic. Well, my guest today is back for I don't know how many times. He's one of my regulars, Dr. David Lowe. David holds an MS and PhD in religious studies. He's an author, former drug counselor, and adjunct professor of religion, who today is primarily doing dream work or being a dream work practitioner. He has a new spirituality textbook called Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, and he has written in very the book is written in very entertaining and a comprehensive way. David has traveled extensively and visited different Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, Jewish, Christian, Orthodox, Muslim groups. His greatest passion is getting people to tune into more profound dimensions of spirituality. Please help me welcome my good friend and my guest, David. He's going to help us peel back our curtain and look at what our dreams actually mean. So, David, thanks so much for being on.
Connie, it's wonderful to be here, especially with you. Being on the show has always been a great joy.
We always have a little bit of fun. And you know, David, this is like one of my favorite topics to talk about, dreams, because I really do think they share insight into our waking life. And I don't know that people ever stop to think or research what their dreams mean. So I'm really excited that we're going to be able to talk about this. My first question, why have you found that dreams are so important?
Because, well, they have important psychobiological functions. They contribute to brain maintenance in some way that we don't understand, or at least their psychoelectrical components do in REM sleep and so forth. But they also, I mean, if people are not allowed to dream, they basically collapse after like a week or so, and they can't function at all. So they are very important psychobiological. They're not as important as food and water, I'm fond of saying they are as important as clothing or personal hygiene, without either of which we would die within a few months, you know. So that's how important they are, really. But they also, of course, have great spiritual significance as well, and have been the source of many inventions, artistic insights, to say nothing of spiritual inspirations and progress for millions of people around the world. They are part of who we are. Yeah.
It's cool stuff, right? And it really is at the subconscious level, but they have such an impact. Okay, so that I agree 100% that dreams are so important. I did not realize that if we don't dream, that, you know, it hurts our brain or hurts us, you know, in our waking life. Next question. With everything else you've done, how did the topic of dreams end up being just so important to you? Like, was there a pivotal moment in your life?
I would have to say there was. My first real initiation into deeper spirituality happened when I began doing certain practices on my own. When that happened, my dream life began to sort of explode into lucid dreaming, which is a whole other topic from dreaming in general. But that was the beginning of my big interest in dreams. I just had sort of a normal dream life before then. But since that time, since that big initiation and some others that came afterwards, the extent to which dreams have been an important part of my deeper spirituality is greater than average, at least according to whatever my spiritual disposition is, predisposes me to do a lot of dreaming. So they are especially important for me, although for people who really get into deeper mystical spirituality, dreams become important a little bit to everybody. We do get inner messages and so forth. But for me in particular, they were especially important. So I've gotten more teachings, more inspirations, and so forth through dreams than average, even amongst heavy duty seekers. Yeah.
When did this happen? Were like what age? I'm just curious. Like if there was something going on with your physical development, you know what I mean?
In my case, I was 27. I was began to do certain yogic practices, which if you do them too much can actually hurt you and imbalance you psychically. That didn't happen in my case, but I did start dreaming like all get out. I began doing breathing exercises and certain postures and so forth, which did have an energizing effect on my dream life. So that's a sort of subtle initiation of some sort or other. Then I met this guru and I got blasted wide open and the dreams went even crazier for a while.
Is that
so? I hasten to say that you don't need to do yoga practices or meet a guru to have a good dream life, because I've talked to a lot of people who had dreams that good or better who never met gurus.
So when after you met the guru, and I know it's a whole nother topic, but you said the word lucid dreams, and
right.
I'm just curious what does that mean? Like lucid, I'm thinking LSD.
Right.
Hey, I was born in the 60s, right?
Right. Me too. Lucid dreams are dreams in which you are aware that you're dreaming.
Oh.
And at that point, you can start doing what you want in the dream instead of just having the dream happen to you. Dreams are usually involuntary. They happen to us whether we want them to or not at night. A lucid dream, you stop and do, hey, I can do whatever I want in this thing. You know, I can fly around. I can, you know, chase pleasures. I can go visit my relatives. I can go visit the ETs in the other planetary system. You know, I can do all kinds of things with lucid dream, but it's a whole other huge topic from normal dreams.
That's so freaking cool.
Yeah.
I want to fly. So, you know, you're going to have to teach me how to do that.
Okay.
Very cool. Very cool. Can you share some important dream experiences that you've had personally? And I'm sure you relate them to when you work with people.
Yeah, they're all unusual. The ones I'll relate are unusual in that they're not symbolic. Talking about a symbolic dream over the phone would be time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
We could do brief ones, but for me, you know, what I would call the prophetic ones. And by prophetic dreams, I mean basically dreams which are literal, which actually say outright in literal means what they want to say. So that instead of being symbolic, the dreamer understands it right away.
Mm.
And I had one dream which prevented me from getting into a car accident. I was meditating and napping, and I had this dream of just driving out on the highway and boom, getting killed in a car accident.
Mm.
And then I had a voice saying, check it now. So what's he talking about? Oh, better look at the car. So I went out, looked at the car, looked at my tires, and one tire, the inner tube was bulging out of the treads. It was about to blow up.
Huh.
So I would have gone out on the highway and boom, who knows what would have happened.
Oh my God.
So that dream, if it didn't, it changed, it's prevented me from having serious significant injury.
You had dreams like that before?
Yeah. I mean, not before I got this like big initiation, but people, you know, the more someone is on like a serious spiritual path, the more likely they are to have dreams like this in my experience from talking to people. Another dream I had, this is probably the most important dream in my life, actually. However, it was 2 seconds long. It was just voices. I didn't see anything, but I was thinking of getting involved with this woman back in Decatur, Georgia, about 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
25 to 22 years ago about. And so, okay, I'll go ahead and I'll see what it's like to be with this person. That night I had a dream. It's 2 seconds long. It consisted of two things, that woman nagging and a baby squalling.
Hmm.
And that told me everything.
Run for your life.
Right. I'm not ready to be a father, or I'm not certainly not going to be with her if it's meant to happen at all. Exactly. So, yeah. And there have been other, I mean, the other dreams are the really spectacular dreams. You go into higher reality and get inspired about God and higher reality. Hey, this is inside you. It's worth going for. This is your true nature. So dreams have showed me that enlightenment exists, that higher reality exists, that therefore God, the inner self, exists. It's all worth going for. So they've been transformative to the highest degree in the direction of my life and the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, and I think your education and, you know, everything you've done academically as well as with your business practices, you were clearly open to this as well, but probably because that's how you're wired, and that's why you chose this path in the first place. You know what I mean? There is divine guidance, I believe. So clearly you were on the right path by having these experiences. It's cool. I mean, it's just really, really cool stuff. I think the thing that is inspiring for me is that not only did you have these experiences, but you actually sought them out or dug deeper. And how many people have the experiences but kind of poo-poo it or turn it off to the side? So that you were aware and you dug into it is, you know, that speaks volumes about your nature of learning and just trying to understand, you know, how to be your greatest self, per se. You know, that's just kind of what I feel as we always have our conversations. When you do, so now that's your experiences, right? But when you do dream, when you're a dream practitioner working with people, when do you help the clients understand, or how do you help the clients understand their dreams? Like, what does that look like?
Well, there are three different levels that you can work with dreams on as a dream practitioner. One is to just work with the images and symbols for understanding and meaning. You can go deeper and work with feelings, which are directly connected with the images, subtle feelings, which can be amplified and brought out to clarify personal issues. And then you can act them out on stage even. That's the third level, which you can't do. In a therapy session, what I do is you get the person to talk to different parts of the dream. Because insight number one about dreams is most of the time, 95% of the time, everything in a dream is part of the dreamer. Okay, so if you dream of a raft or a wolf or an angry spouse or a nice bar over there in the corner where you know people are getting drinks or a football game, all those things are part of the dreamer. And they all represent different things emotionally and personally for them. So you get them to basically talk to those different parts of themselves with greater awareness than they had it in the dream. And all sorts of emotional stuff comes up and all kinds of personal insights about the direction they want to go in, specific issues that they're dealing with within their family, within themselves, greater self-understanding. All that begins to happen when people look at their dreams in that kind of focused way. And then there's also the meaning of the dream, what the dream means to tell them overall. The major significance is what they're feeling and understanding emotionally in terms of what the dream is trying to tell them and notify them about. There's also an overall cognitive meaning, which can be powerful as well, because when you zero in on the truth about yourself, about something, your other ideas get blown away that you were kidding yourself about, you know, and that can be very powerful.
So you really help people, and I think that, again, what you just described, it's like people know what's going on at the subconscious level. We just don't want to shine the light and look at it. So when you start to, again, peel back the curtain here and look at things, they're their dreams. It's their dreams, right? It's going on in their head. They know it's there. They just didn't want to address it. So it's almost like looking at your feet in muddied water. You clear out the mud and help them see more clearly. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. That's pretty much the case. So the major thing to understand about dreams is that, again, they have those important psychobiological, very, very important for our lives to begin with. So secondly, we all have psychic faculties. You know, some people have special gifts like clairvoyance or whatever, but we all dream. Or can remember them if we want to. And so that faculty we have is always pointing us, always offering information, pointing toward greater potential happiness and fulfillment. But we have to do our part by trying to fathom them. You know, God doesn't spoon feed us anything. So God in herself is going to make it. We have to do our part to really understand the message that we're potentially being given to be happier. So that's what dreams are. They're part of who we are. They represent our own higher faculties, always telling us, always offering us information about greater potential happiness and fulfillment, in my view.
So do you find that when people come to you to, you know, work on their dreams or look at their dreams, they're open or they're ready to see the, and I'm going to use the word truth, right? But they're ready to see it and address it. I don't know. Or like, let's say you were just doing a speaking event and someone who never thought about this and just thought, oh, kind of a cool topic, I'm going to go listen. When you speak, are people, even if they weren't ready to address it per se, do they sit there and think, have you ever had the experience where they sat there and thought, oh my God, I got to look at this. I need more clarity in my life. Can it be as simple as that?
Yeah, it often is. I mean, most of the time, they'll just sit spellbound kind of without really, they take it in, but they're not really interested, but they sense there's something there, but they're not really interested. Some people will come up and say, hey, I've been writing these things down. I've always been curious about them, but this really gets me particularly interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're often looking for guidance without realizing that they were curious about it.
Yeah. I was going to say that to Divine Intervention. Why would they be at your speaking event to hear about this topic, right? They're there for a reason. They might just not really know what draw them or pull them in, to hear you speak. Very cool. Very cool. Let's take a really quick break, David. And then, when we come back, you know, I want to start talking about what dreams, like, you know, I was eaten by a tiger. Like, what does that mean?
So, right.
When we come, I know that was very violent. When we come back, it's cool if we start talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome, awesome.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change, Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
We are back. We are speaking with David Lowe, and we're talking about dreams and the dream work that he does and just some of the cool stuff that goes on within us that he could just provide a little bit of clarity and help, I think, help people decipher what the next step is or what direction their life should go in and all of those cool things that we ask, like, who am I, right? So David can help with that. All right, so let's talk about some, now I'm getting excited. Let's talk about some common dreams that people have. And you call them common psychology dreams. You alluded to that in the first segment. So
right.
First, what do you mean by that? And then we could jump into the examples.
The common psychology dreams are, and that's my own term, by the way, are dreams which reflect common psychological tensions that most all of us experience at one time or another in our lives. And those are, they're no-brainers, but they are important, and people can heed their messages for greater overall happiness and fulfillment. So anyway, yeah, there's a whole list of these, but the 10 most common dreams, themes. You can look online, the 10, 12 most common dream themes are blah, 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 blah.
Right.
That's what they are. Common psychology dream.
So it's just like every, and that, like in my intro, I said, you know, the scary ones where you're being, you know, sought after by a predator or, you know, falling from a cliff or fall, you just feel yourself falling, right? And
sure.
Then you wake up all of a sudden. Everybody's had those dreams. It's a common occurrence. So that's the common psychology. Okay, that makes sense. All right, so let's talk about the falling one. What does that signify?
All I can do is designate like approximate meanings, but
sure.
It's going to vary from person to person. But falling is almost always about being out of control in some sense or other. if there's a project at work that your boss has faith that you're going to come through and do well, and you really don't know what you're doing, mm-hmm. you might have a dream of falling. If you've got three boyfriends going, but you don't know which to go with, and you're kind of confused about it, you might have a dream of falling. If you're not really keeping up with your diabetes medication and some stressful events are happening as a result, but you're not quite aware that your health is causing the problem, you might have a dream of falling. So whatever you're over your head, you're out of control and you need to get your bearings. It's usually something like that.
So really, when you have a dream like that, the next morning, you should think about, okay, so what do I feel that I don't have control on or that I don't have a grip on? And
exactly.
And I think when you stop and you look at something like that, you really do know what feels out of control, like the project at work or, like you said, the diabetes, you're not eating properly or taking the medication as prescribed.
And it's important also to think of other areas of your life that you don't think are relevant at all to the dream, which may be. Yeah, so it's a metaphor. It's that you're falling, you're out of control in some sense or other.
It's trying to tell you get bearings, right? You have a way of getting bearings. Just kind of figure it out. Okay,
usually what falling means, yeah.
Okay, that's so cool. See, I didn't know that. How about flying? Now, I've never had that experience. So to me, oh, so cool that you're flying in your dream. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That can mean a range of things. That can mean like two opposite things. It can mean that you need more spirituality, need more perspective, and a broader overview of the big picture. You have to create views of everything. Or you could be escaping from something. You could be not wanting to deal with something that you need to deal with. So you're floating over on top of it, trying to escape or avoid it. Hmm. So it could indicate need for greater spirituality, desire for more, the need for a broader overview and understanding of everything, or just it might be a good idea to develop your spiritual potential, go to higher levels of reality, read more philosophy maybe, or it could be escapist. It could be an escapist issue. So yeah, it could be lots of things, but those would be two more or less opposite things that flying can refer to. Yeah.
And I want to go back, David, and you gave me this quote in our emails back and forth, and I thought, wow, this is spot on for our discussion. There is no such thing as a dream with only one meaning, because the individual having the dream, yes, there's some of these common psychology dreams, right, that it's
right.
out of control, but out of control for you and out of control for me clearly are going to be very, very different things.
Yeah, so, that's Jeremy Taylor, by the way.
Did I say it wrong?
Jeremy Taylor.
Yes, I said that right, didn't I?
Oh, did you? Okay, good.
I thought so. Yeah, Jeremy Taylor. Yes, I said that at the beginning. I didn't say it now. But yeah, that's such a great, great quote, because we all dream, but just because you and I both have a dream of falling, my falling when I come into the waking world and think about it could be drastically different than yours. And then flying, you're saying there's two opposite meanings again. So we really, really, you're giving some perspective on what to think about when you have these dreams, but it could be very different for, you know, people listening. So I just wanted to kind of refresh that a little bit.
These even falling and flying, those two things can mean other things aside from what we've talked about, but they're usually along those lines.
Yeah. Okay, cool. How about being undressed in public? That to me is like, oh my God, scary.
Yeah. We all go through, most all of us go through times in life when we feel insecure or defensive about who we are because we're afraid other people know more about us than we think. We feel insecure. We feel defensive. We feel we may be sharing too much about ourselves so that we come across like idiots or little children or something. You know, sometimes people share too much about themselves and they essentially cut themselves down in doing so. In the eyes of others. That's the sort of thing which, if you're feeling defensive about people, wondering, you're paranoid about what others are thinking about you, or you're worried about what others know about you, or you're sharing too much, you're insecure, defensive, it's not unusual to have a dream of being undressed in public, if that's what it's saying. You're just exposing yourself too much, you know, or you're worrying too much about this.
Again,
notice again how it can be two kind of opposite things. One is that, you know, don't worry too much about that. People are going to think what they're going to think. Don't worry about it. But the other meaning could be you're really doing too much self-disclosure. You're talking too much about yourself in a way which is not constructive. So it could be either of those or something in between.
It's interesting. Yeah. I just had an experience with thank goodness I never had that dream of being undressed in public, because I probably would have woken up with a heart attack. But the this week we had a coaching call. My partner and I had a coaching call, and it was a group of us. And one of the women kept going on and on and on and on and on and on and on about, I'm good at this, I'm good at this. And that wasn't the premise of this coaching call. And I texted my partner and I said, insecure much? That was my, it wasn't my partner speaking. It was another woman.
Right.
And she texted me back. Oh my goodness, for sure. You know, and we felt bad for this woman. So it just struck me funny because as you were describing that, I thought of several people who just, they just talk and talk and talk, and people are like, oh my God, you sound like an idiot. Exactly. Or you sound like a child, like get control of yourself.
Right.
So being undressed in public, how interesting to look back on how do we communicate and how do we put ourselves out there in the public forum. So very interesting. All right. I alluded to this one in my intro too, being chased by someone or something. We've all been chased by monsters as well.
Right. Yeah. That's virtually always about ignoring some responsibility. It could be a spiritual issue. Maybe you should be going to church more often. Mm. It could be a financial issue. Maybe you haven't been, if you haven't paid your house bill or your car bill, then there's like a strict limit. 2 months go by, boom, he gets repossessed, that sort of thing.
Sure.
It could be a health issue which is going to, you know, come to the fore in a month if you don't get a checkup.
Mm.
It could be a zillion things that you're ignoring. Any of those things can cause a dream of being chased by something. That's how varied that a dream like that can refer to issues in people's lives.
But ignoring some responsibility, it could be, you know, taking care of your kids or taking care of yourself or taking care of your finances or taking care of your spirituality, right? Not nourishing your mind enough or your soul enough.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow. Now, it's interesting because
that's how varied it can be.
Sure.
A dream that can indicate any of those things.
That is so cool. I've definitely had dreams where I feel like I'm being chased. I hope that everybody listening, and hopefully you take notes, like I'm taking notes right now so I can archive this. I mean, I certainly could always come back and listen to the show, as could the listeners. But I will put this by my bedside table, David. So you're going to make it into my bedside drawer, by the way, my little notes here. But you know, when you have those dreams the next morning, I'm going to look and say, okay, I was chased. I'm ignoring something. Think about what it is. Is it money? Is it your spirituality? Is it your health? Is it your family? Is it whatever? Is it work? You know, whatever it might be. Take that moment now that you have some information, use it as a tool to decipher and make your life a better one. I mean, this is fascinating as well as extremely informative. So thank you for this.
What all these things do, they offer us the opportunity to have an easier, better, more convenient life.
Sure.
They're notifying us of things which down the road are going to hurt us if we don't do something about them.
Sure. Sure. It's like an eye opener, right? A wake up, literally a wake up call.
Yeah.
Taking a test or a course, dreaming about that.
That's usually around competence of one kind or another. Classically, if you're worried about, you know, having that birds and bees discussion with your kid when he gets old enough, that's uncomfortable. You got to prepare for that. Some parents do.
Mm.
Or it could be, you know, anything that you don't feel good about doing because you don't think you're good enough at it, or like you don't know enough about it, and you just kind of feel at sea in that particular topic or situation. It's not unusual to have a dream of like flunking a course or a test.
Hmm.
And so that's, you know, what do I not feel comfortable with, which I'm going to have to deal with in my life? Well, what am I dealing with right now, which I could be doing better with because I don't know what I'm doing?
Hmm.
And can I rectify that through training, through research, through more introspection or what have you? Yeah, competence, usually competence of some sort in one context or another.
Very cool. How about dying? That's a scary one, I think.
Dying, that's usually quite auspicious. This is an example which I like to use in terms of how different meanings can be. Like if you see your boyfriend dying, you know, it could mean that he will die in real life, but probably not. Almost 99.9%, that's not what it means. It could also mean, well, maybe I need to be more self-reliant and live without him. I'm going to have to learn to live by myself instead of having this other person in my life. It could mean that, but that's a very small likelihood it's going to mean that. What it almost always means, and I stress almost always, is some sort of transformation in your own concept of who he is. Right. So your boyfriend is is going to be surprising in some way. He's a different person than you think he is. Mm. So your own concept of who he is will undergo a transformation, and he himself will die in your dreams, because the boyfriend in your dreams is not the boyfriend in real life. It's your own concept and understanding of him. So when that dies, it's going to be reborn in some other way, and your understanding of him will be more complete.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That to me is, because we've all had those dreams too of someone dying, and sometimes not even knowing the person, just knowing how they relate to you in life. You know what I mean? Like they're faceless, but yeah. You think it's not somebody really close to me, but it's someone in my orbit, that kind of thing. So that's just interesting that it's a rebirth of who someone is. Can it be a rebirth of who you are?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, when you have a dream of like you yourself dying, I mean that could be, you know, I've had dreams of me dying for sure. Of a rebirth, overall spiritual, personal rebirth of the self, or sometimes just a part or certain aspect of you is going to undergo a change of some sort or other.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. How about losing your teeth? I know we've all had this one.
Yeah, losing it, that's almost always about frustration over and anger over losing capacities as we get older. Mm. You know, we can't run as far, or we can't eat as much, we can't drink as much, we can no longer play hockey with our kid as effectively, we can't play chess as effectively, we can't, you know, as we get older, the body goes south physically and mentally, inevitably, slowly but surely. And you know, so we can no longer do the stuff that we used to do as well as we used to do it. It's usually something like that, losing your teeth. Some loss of power, a sense of, when you bare your teeth, there's aggression, there's power, there's assertion. So when you lose your teeth, you're losing power in some sense, either gross or subtle. And it usually relates to that and the anger or frustration around that.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that every day as I age. I tell you, my aches and pains. We're almost out of time. We actually are out of time, but I do want to do one more. Having sex with someone, because we've all had those, sexy
right.
dreams.
That's usually about wanting to be connected with some quality that person has, and wanting to maybe have those characteristics yourself, or because there's something that you admire about the person, but you don't quite know what. Maybe it's good leadership skills or something, this or that, but you want to connect with that inner quality. That's often what it's about. Sure, sometimes it's like that because you really do desire the person, but usually it's something more like that, wanting to connect with the individual in some more profound way.
So we just, we're humans. We're always thinking about sex, right?
Well, yeah, but there's also deeper qualities that people have which we admire, So
yeah, I love it.
So the person who you don't particularly like physically and so forth, if there's something about him that you admire. He has good leadership skills. He's good at math. He's very urbane. He's easygoing with people. He can chat up a storm. He's the life of the party. There's something about him that you really admire.
That's awesome. Oh, Dave, I'm going to type these up, I'm telling you. And I'm going to put them in my little journal and my bedside table so I can relate, so I can look at them after I have these dreams. And I hope everybody does the same. This is so fascinating. We are out of time. So if you guys would like more David, a couple of things. I'm going to give you his website. It's David Low, MSPhD, and it's Low, L-O-W. I will post that on Enlightenment of Change Web Talk Radio website. And you can also email him directly at david@worldspirituality.com. I promise I will post that as well. And again, his book title, Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice. And it's a workbook, right, David?
Yeah. It's basically a textbook with lots of pictures and word balloons and everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Fun. It's fun, informative, and a good tool from a usage standpoint. You guys, if you need to reach me, you need help, or you want me to cover a specific topic on the show, email me directly at Connie@WhitmanAssoc.com. And also, I want to remind you, my partner and I, we have a free communication style assessment. Gives you some insight as to who you are, how you're wired, and how you show up in life and how people perceive you. Go to wisdomdecoded.com. And right on the landing page, you'll see the link for the free CSA, communication style assessment. David, thank you again for just being an amazing guest, an amazing topic. I don't know. I think we might have to do a sequel to this.
I do.
Because there's just so many more, and there's so much more to talk about with dreams and the impact I think they can make in our waking life. So thank you for just an awesome topic.
It's wonderful to be on the show, Connie. Thank you so much. I look forward to the next chat as soon as possible.
You got it, my friends. Thank you all for joining me. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change and realize that it's possible and easier than we think. Example, using the information we shared today to kind of dig into who you are and your psyche to help you navigate your waking life. I think we uncovered some really important tools today. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week, and I hope you have some lucid dreams this week. Thanks again.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman and Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, WhitmanASSOC.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.